Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nurturees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. My Best Friend's Secretly Cheating with My Husband, A Marriage in Crisis Romance, is a contemporary romance novel by Ella Amafa, published as part of the Her Marriage in Crisis series. The book centers on betrayal inside a long-term marriage and uses infidelity, emotional fallout, and reconciliation tension as its main dramatic engine. According to the available product information, the story follows a wife who discovers that her husband has been exchanging secret messages with her best friend, forcing her to confront not only marital breakdown but also the collapse of trust in her closest relationship. The novel is positioned for readers who prefer high-angst romance with serious emotional conflict, a groveling hero, and a second-chance path toward resolution. It is also notable for explicitly signaling no actual cheating in the broader series framing, which places the emphasis on suspicion, consequences, and repair rather than explicit erotic escalation. As a result, the book functions as a concentrated crisis romance built around emotional exposure, regret, and the difficult question of whether damaged trust can be rebuilt. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, betrayal between spouses and best friends as the core conflict. The central appeal of the novel lies in the overlap of two betrayals at once, the breakdown of marital fidelity and the collapse of friendship trust. That combination gives the story stronger emotional pressure than a standard cheating romance, because the heroine is not only losing confidence in her husband, but also in the person she likely relied on most outside the marriage. This structure intensifies the sense of isolation, since the betrayal comes from both the private and social spheres of her life. In romance fiction, that kind of layered betrayal is effective because it creates immediate stakes without requiring complex external plot machinery. The conflict is personal, recognizable, and easy to understand even before the reconciliation arc begins. It also explains why the book belongs in a marriage in crisis category rather than a lighter relationship drama. The emphasis is not on mystery for its own sake, but on the emotional consequences of discovering that the people closest to you may be acting in secret against your trust. That setup gives the narrative its defining tension and shapes every later choice the characters make. Secondly, high-angst marriage and crisis structure drives the narrative. This book is built around crisis rather than courtship, which changes the function of the romance. Instead of focusing on how two people fall in love, it focuses on what happens when a committed relationship breaks under the weight of secrecy, neglect, and resentment. The available description suggests a sequence of escalating emotional blows, including the revelation of hidden messages, the humiliation of a public vow renewal, and the heroine's decision to seek divorce. Those elements are important because they shift the story from internal doubt to open rupture. In high-angst romance, the emotional pain is not incidental. It is the main mechanism that pushes the characters toward change. Readers who choose this type of novel generally want to see consequences, not a quick apology. The marriage and crisis format also allows the author to examine how long-term familiarity can mask deterioration. The couple may have history, shared hardship, and deep attachment, but those advantages do not prevent betrayal. That makes the conflict more believable for readers who value relationship realism inside a heightened fictional setup. The result is a story that relies on damaged intimacy, not simple misunderstanding, to keep the narrative moving. Thirdly, groveling and accountability shape the hero's role. A notable feature of the book is the promise of a groveling hero, which is a major convention in many betrayal-centered romances. In practical narrative terms, groveling means the male-led must do more than apologize. He must demonstrate sustained remorse, accept consequences, and earn back trust through action. That matters because the story is not structured around instant forgiveness. The heroine's injury is emotional and relational, so the repair process has to feel proportionate to the damage. The description implies that the husband begins therapy and tries to become the partner she once trusted, which gives the redemption arc a behavioral dimension rather than a merely verbal one. This is important in the genre because readers often distinguish between performative regret and genuine accountability. A believable grovel requires time, patience, and visible change, especially when the original harm involved emotional neglect and secrecy. The novel's appeal, therefore, depends partly on whether the hero can move from being the source of pain to being someone capable of responsibility. That arc creates tension because forgiveness is treated as uncertain, not guaranteed, and the heroine may no longer be emotionally available by the time he improves. Fourthly, second chance romance is filtered through emotional damage rather than nostalgia. Although the book is labeled as a second-chance romance, the second chance here does not appear to come from simple reunion or romantic memory. Instead, it is filtered through injury, hesitation, and the possibility that the relationship may already be too damaged to save. That makes the category more emotionally complicated than a typical reunion plot. the characters are not reuniting after external separation caused by timing or geography. They are confronting the consequences of mistrust within an existing marriage. This changes the reader experience because the tension comes from whether the relationship can survive its own history, not whether the couple still has chemistry. The series framing also suggests a pattern of intense domestic conflict across related books, which is consistent with a broader interest in marriages tested by betrayal and then pushed toward hard-won resolution. The heroine's eventual uncertainty is especially important. If she has already reached the point where she may not need her husband anymore, the second chance becomes conditional rather than sentimental. That gives the novel a sharper edge than a conventional reconciliation romance, since love alone is not enough to guarantee restoration. Lastly, series branding signals a focused formula of betrayal, reversal, and HEA. The book belongs to the Her Marriage in Crisis series, and that placement is useful for understanding its design. The series appears to use a repeated formula built around domestic betrayal, emotional rupture, and eventual happily ever after resolution. That kind of branding helps readers know exactly what emotional pattern to expect before starting the book. It also suggests that the novel is part of a larger catalog aimed at a specific audience that enjoys intense, issue-driven relationship drama. The narrow focus is a strength rather than a weakness for readers who want consistency across titles. Instead of offering a broad romantic range, the series concentrates on one recognizable conflict zone: marriages destabilized by secret texts, affairs, or perceived infidelity, followed by high-stakes emotional repair. The inclusion of a HEA promise matters because it balances the bleakness of the premise and keeps the book within romance rather than tragedy. For the category, that balance is essential. Readers get the pain they came for, but also the assurance that the story is designed to resolve, not simply wound. The result is a commercially clear and emotionally specific romance formula that distinguishes the book within the larger marriage crisis niche. In conclusion, this novel is best suited to readers who actively seek emotionally intense romance built around betrayal, regret, and the possibility of reconciliation after serious damage. It will appeal most to fans of marriage in crisis stories, grovel-heavy romance, and second-chance plots where trust must be rebuilt rather than assumed. For those readers, the book offers a concentrated form of relationship drama. The pain is immediate, the stakes are personal, and the emotional repair is central rather than incidental. Its main practical value is not instructional in a real-world sense, but reflective, since it dramatizes how secrecy, neglect, and public humiliation can transform a marriage into a crisis of identity as well as affection. Compared with many similar romance titles, it stands out through the specific pairing of best friend betrayal and marital infidelity, which sharpens the emotional conflict and raises the cost of forgiveness. The promise of a hopeful ending also helps it fit the expectations of romance readers who want suffering to be acknowledged and resolved. In a crowded subgenre, that combination of high angst, accountability, and closure gives the book a clear and recognizable place. If you would like to support Ella Amifa, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.